Today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
There is a growing movement in the religious world to broaden what is commonly known or identified as worship. It is true that all of us should allow God to be manifested in every area of our lives.
Bishop Clark says, leaving our own spiritual life up to chance will never allow it to produce fruit. The same is true of every area of growth we desire to see develop and blossom.
But I'm trying to identify that there is a distinct difference between service and worship. They are not synonymous. There are times when you should serve and there are times when you should worship.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Before we begin today's teaching, we'd like to acknowledge and welcome again to The Word of Truth Revealed our new listeners on 100.7 FM, 94.7 FM, 99.9 FM, and 1510 AM. We hope as you listen to what God is saying through our senior pastor, Bishop Merton L. Clark, the understanding you have of God's Word and your personal walk with Christ would become that much stronger. Today, Bishop Clark continues the message where he discusses how in order to cultivate a space that is rich for spiritual growth, we need to be just as intentional about creating a space that is rich for spiritual growth. Let's turn again to our foundation scripture, Matthew the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 10, as Bishop Clark concludes the message, "Don't forget to worship."
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but John chapter 4 says you should worship the Lord only and Him only shall you serve. John chapter 4 says that hour is coming and now is, when Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, where true worshipers would worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm giving you the truth now. The order of worship is worship comes before service. You will be more amenable and malleable if you have a lifestyle, and you should be molded. If you are a block of clay on the potter's wheel and you should be molded into the image that God has called you to be, what makes you moldable is that God slaps a little water on you. God slaps water when you worship, that when the potter spins you on the wheel of circumstance, He can use pressure to mold you into what He wants you to be, and you're not blocking Him, you're not fighting against Him as He puts pressure on your life. If you don't get the water on you when you spin, you'll hurt. All of us are spinning on the wheel of circumstance. I don't know what's going on in my life. I can't put my feet down. I don't know what's happening to me. And God says, don't worry about the spin. As long as I have my hands on you, and if you worship me, I'll throw moisture on you. If you worship me, I'll pull straw out of you. If you worship me, I'll take those rocks out of your soul. Jesus. And as I mold you, hallelujah, you will start looking like the one that's molding you. You will look like Jesus more. You won't want to fight as much. You won't be as quiet as you are. You'll start rising up. The lion in you will begin to roar. The woman in you will be more malleable. The man in you will be the warrior that God has called. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Woo, Jesus. And God wants to get something new in this world. Not the old you. We've seen enough of that. He wants something new. And Jeremiah said, I went down to the potter's house. Good God from Zion. And there I saw work on a wheel. And the potter said to Jeremiah, as I do with this clay, can I also do with my people? And people want to come to Jesus thinking everything going to be all right. And they're trying to mix what they saw in the mountain while they were smoking, while they were smoking their stuff. They're trying to mix that into God's plan for your life. But if he puts you on the wheel of circumstance, you got to be able to get rid of what you saw when you were on the high mountain and the splendor thereof, and start saying, whatever you have for me, I'm willing to give my life for it. And I'm willing to allow you to mold me and make me over again. Make me brand new. Put something new in my soul. I'm not trying to fulfill what they told me I'm supposed to do, but I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Woo, Jesus. Where are the true worshipers at? Where are the true worshipers at? Hallelujah. As soon as you start spinning, you want to get off the wheel, but let God mold you into what he wants you to be. Ah, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, how many of you have been in the spin a long time? You've been spinning a long time. Hallelujah. Don't worry about the spin. Just say, God, I know your hands are on my life. And if you spin me for the next three wheels, as long as your hands are on me. Like David said, I know I messed up in my life and I made some mistakes and I've got to forgive myself. And you can beat me as long as you want. And you can spin me 1,000 times. But whatever you do, don't take your spirit away from me. I need your spirit. I need you breathing inside of me. I need you empowering me to do great things. I need you working in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. I need you empowering me. Push me over this hump. Push me over this circumstance. I need to get busy now. I need to fulfill what you call me to do. This comes when you begin to worship the Lord. Clap your hands, all ye people. Woo, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Ah. Woo. Come on, worship creates something on the inside. It gives you a greater capacity. Open your mouth and give him glory. It's here. Ah, Jesus. Open your mouth and give him glory. Ah, come on. Your blessing is right on the other side of worship. Your deliverance is on the other side of worship. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Take your seat for a moment. I need to teach just a little bit more. Now here's the introduction. There was a growing movement in the religious world to broaden what is commonly known or identified as worship. There is a growing movement in the religious world to broaden what is commonly known as worship, or what is identified as worship. Rather than it being limited to specific activities and personal worship, there's a tendency to broaden it beyond that, wanting us to embrace the idea that worship is a lifestyle that is so broad that it encompasses everything, every moment of your life, your existence, or to be in an occasion. Everything in your life is an occasion to worship. And I understand that, but I need to make a distinction between worship and service. It is true that all of us should allow God to be manifested in every area of our lives. And we should always be in service to God. But I'm trying to identify that there is a distinct difference between service and worship. They are not synonymous. There are times when you should serve, and there are times when you should worship. There are times when Martha steps up, and there are times when Mary steps up. They are two distinct sisters. And then there's times when Lazarus is absent and needs to be on the scene. Mary is the worshiper sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha is the worker or the server who's busy cleaning up the kitchen, cooking pies and cakes. When she should be sitting at the feet. And then you have Lazarus in the bed and he's coughing. He isn't dead, but he's sick. And he's the witness. And many of us, the witness of our life is sick. We don't proclaim and tell anybody that he saved us. We just say, I'm going through a rough patch right now. Or, I'm so blessed I don't need God. The witness is coughing. Chest is congested. And if you don't change, death is inevitable. We cannot tie service and worship. It's like trying to blend or sew two sisters together. When at one time they were Siamese, but we must separate them. Each one should have their own batch of lungs. And their own singular heart, not sharing a heart. The heart of service and the heart of worship should work together, but they should not be the same. Separate them. What you do in service is not necessarily worship. Yet God requires both. Thank you, Lord. So we want to see if our worship is full grown, how grown is your service? And then if your service is an adult in your life, then how small is your worship? Is it an infant that's screaming for a bottle that hadn't had suck for a while? Is malnourished? Or are you giving time to your worship so it can grow full grown and begin to blossom and do what God has designed for it to do? Write it down. Worship is a lifestyle. The desire to worship the Lord is most commendable to all believers around the world. And I want to celebrate you. If you have a desire to worship the Lord, God loves you. The Christian worship is momentous. It is extraordinary. It is most urgent. The most glorious action that you can perform in spirit in the earth today is to worship God. I believe, and I want you to catch this phrase, when you worship God, you step into what we call an eternal activity. It's the closest to eternity that you will get while here on the earth. It's when you step into his presence and you begin to magnify him. For believers, worship is a primary concern and activity for all of us. It should be active in our lives, just as active as the word is in our lives. Worship should be active. On the contrary, many of us don't worship God as a lifestyle of worship. It's something we may do on Sunday morning, and we're still confused with the service and the worship. We say our service is worship. I want you to know they're not the same. I want to affirm the worship. Now, don't get me wrong. Worship is important. I would say it's a little bit more important than your service. When you worship the Lord, you'll serve better because it doesn't matter what people say. They may give you 1,000 likes on Facebook for your service and it not register in heaven because man looks on the outer appearance. But God is looking at the heart. Pastor Green, come for a minute. I want you to stand right here, sir, where I was standing. For right now, he's a better looking man than me, but right now he's me. This is the Black Diamond.
black knight.
So he's standing in my spot. This is just play acting now. I'm standing in the spot of God. Okay? When God looks at a man, he's not looking at his features. He already knows that. He made you. Other people are impressed with you, but not God. Other people call you fine and all that, and that go to your head. God is not concerned with all of that. He can blow and it all turns to ash. And after the wind goes out of us, those same people don't care after 3 months. Some of them don't care after a week. So when God looks at us, he's never looking at the number of hair. He's never looking at our dark skin. He's never looking at our beauty and our handsomeness. He's not looking at all of that. What are we wearing? That's not how he looks. He's not even looking at eyes, because the eyes are the mirror of your soul. He doesn't need eyes to see your soul. When he looks at you, this is what he does. He's looking at your heart. He's so tied to it, you can't hide. You can't hide. You can't hide from his sight. He knows what you would never say. That's why he's after your worship. Because in the worship, he can change that. In the worship, you trade out what's there, the stuff that you like and do, and you surrender it in exchange for his will. So the next time you deal with God, stop trying to, you know, play the game. He already knows. Just expose. Just lay it out. And he'll say, you know what? That's the right place you need to be. Because I'm not intimidated and I'm not afraid of it. And I won't reject you. I already know what's there. So just surrender it for me. Thank you, sir. Come on, give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. I got a lot to say, and I've said a lot, right? So I'm going to close this in a moment and not overload you. But I think I've said a lot that I'm supposed to say in this service. And I think one of the sensitivities that I believe God is giving me right now is the ability to say what needs to be said and then back it up. Thank you, Lord. What I just did with this man and showed you how God sees us, it is momentous. It is momentous. If we're going to change, we're going to have to expose that. And this is what needs to happen in worship. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it all to you. And when it happens like that, God has a way of changing what we can't change. Again, worship is not what we do. It is who we are in Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is in your life? Then worship him. It's not just what we do, it's who we are in him. And if you're a real born-again believer, you should be Christ-like by worshiping him. It's a day-to-day relationship that should be growing from one state of faith to another state, from one state of glory to another state, from one state of strength to another state, a higher state. A lot of time people like to use words that they don't know really what they mean. They don't know the depth of it. And I'm trying to practice as I grow in God, and I've been doing it since I was late, my late 20s, is that when I add a word to my vocabulary, I want to know what it means in several different shades. So I won't just be getting up there repeating what somebody else said, you know, just saying what they said because it sounds catchy. I want to know what I'm saying when I communicate with you. And a lot of people use the term worship, but don't know what it means. They just hear it. You know, we need to worship. But what does it mean? And I think if you have the meaning of a name or worship or word, you'll be able to function better. So worship is defined when people use words without really knowing what it means. They kind of stumble, and it gives problems to those that you're talking to. Like the word baptism. the word baptism. Most people say that baptism involves immersing a person, the individual, in water or sprinkling. But if you knew what it means, what would you do? You would do what it means. Our English word comes from the Greek word bapto, which is defined as to whelm. We get overwhelmed. To cover wholly with fluid. So there are people who say, well, I was sprinkled, but to baptize means to overwhelm with the liquid. To fully submerge. In other words, you got to plunge in. You go down completely and then you come up. Versus somebody taking sprinkles over your head. Right? So if you know what the word means, you will do it completely. It represents death, burial, and resurrection. Submitting to the baptizer, submitting to them, trusting them to take you down and not hold you down. Right? Because you're supposed to die when you go down. You died with Christ. So you die, and you're supposed to kind of be buried a little bit. Till you die. Then you're resurrected. You can't have resurrection power if you never die. So if you're telling me this is how you've always been, did you really connect with Jesus? Because when you connect with him, there has to be a plunging, a dying to what you used to think and be. And then burial. So when we baptize, plunge, that's death. Burial, you're under the water for a moment. Then we pull you up. Death, burial, and resurrection. So when you come out of the water, you should think about being new. And if you're new, you need a new language. You need a new money. You need a new attitude. You need a new disposition. You need a new goal. Not same old goals, but new goals. Shaped in the very image of his son. Glory to God. And God wants you to be baptized in his spirit. And he wants you to be baptized into worship. Fully submerged. If you want to know a new language, you should be baptized in the culture. So if I wanted to know Spanish, really, I need to be let off in a Spanish-speaking country and nobody speaking English around me, and it will force me as I'm baptized and submerged in it to start picking up new words. Gato, 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 cat. Oh, yeah, cat. Agua, agua, agua. Thirsty. I'm thirsty. Nobody understand thirsty. Agua. Oh, agua. I'm thirsty. Agua, agua. Caballo, 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 caballo. I need transportation. Well, I want a car. There ain't no cars. Horses. Horse. Oh, caballo, caballo. Yeah. It's a horse. I'm hungry. I need pan, pan, bread.
It's not unusual for people who evade, avoid, for individuals who steer clear of long-term relationships to hear they have commitment issues. Many are trying to work with a phobia, a fear of commitment. Many folks use these phrases casually, but in reality, commitment and the fear of it is often quite complicated or complex. Dedication is a broad term. But it generally comes down to devoting yourself to a process or to something for a long period of time, whether that is a job, a goal, a city, devoting yourself to a ministry, or being committed to a relationship. The asserted effort to build, to construct anything, starts with a pure devotion to engagement. Joshua 24 and 15 says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When you make a commitment to serve the Lord, you save not only yourself, but you preserve your entire family and ultimately your legacy.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. you can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. Now, for your physical copy of today's message, don't forget to worship. When you write or email us, use reference number 2108-1508. That's reference number 2108-1508. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
Do you know Jesus? That's a powerful question which recognizes that part of life's purpose and the lasting joy we experience in ethics, in morality, has much to do with knowing Jesus. In our pre-mortal life, we were in his mind, in his heart, we were in his presence, and in the presence of God the Father, we're protected, never disconnected. Let's get back to the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Choose Christ today. My friends, if you're unsaved and you would like to know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I repent of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you were buried for me, but you love me enough to be raised from the dead for my justification. Come into my heart, and I will live for you forever. Fill me with your spirit and empower me to do great things in your kingdom. Hallelujah. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're now part of a large family. I need you to connect with us, so send me an email at this address, connect@truthrevealed.org. That is connect@truthrevealed.org. And until next time, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.